The unexpected and heartbreaking end to his marriage launched Michael Tranmere into a spiritual journey through self-reflection and sobriety to really understand what led to that fateful conclusion to his relationship. Join us for a powerful discussion about Satori Ananda.
Soul Nectar Show. You're invited, delighted to discover who you are. Anything is possible if you believe. So join us on this beautiful journey.
Soul Nectar Show.
Soul Nectar Show.
Hello and welcome to another episode of Soul Nectar Show, that show where we explore all things essence, where we gather around the campfire and we share our story of connection to that which is bigger than us, to the great mystery, to behind the veil, to those synchronistic connections, to our spirit, that this little breadcrumbs laid out for us to follow our pathway back home again. And I'm your host, Carrie Hummingbird. I love having these conversations. They expand me. They expand my awareness with curiosity. I love helping people to become curious and open and listen and learn and evolve. And those are all the things that we do, which creates more love, more prosperity, more beauty, more yumminess. That's what we do in my butterfly circles. So I welcome you to explore that. They start up 3 times a year, January, May, and September. And so I invite you to check that out as well as other programs going on at my website, kerrihummingbird.com, K-E-R-R-I, hummingbird.com. And of course, on my show, it would be far less interesting without amazing people to come on the show with me. And I'm excited to have my friend Michael Tranmere back again to have another discussion on Soul Nectar Show. Welcome, Michael.
Very happy and grateful to be here and to be in your presence to get them. So lucky to have you one-on-one in our own little virtual space right here. And for everyone who's just listened to that intro, I can absolutely say without a doubt that spending any time in Carrie with all her wisdom and all the love that you have, and you're just so ferocious about how you want to make this world a better place, especially right now. So I just appreciate you so much for creating this space and all the other spaces. And I just am trying to appreciate I'm slowly learning and appreciating just how much energy and how challenging that can sometimes be. So I really appreciate you.
Thank you, Michael. You know, and Michael, we've spent a lot of time together actually in our own evolution processes together in group. And we've learned a lot about each other. It's just a powerful experience to be with other people who are also working, growing on themselves and very vulnerably, transparently putting themselves out there for everybody, the whole world to see your current level of evolution and hoping that, you know, we're helping and not harming. And so I really was inspired by Michael's new book that he's got coming out called Satori Ananda. Is Awaken to Happiness, a memoir about the life transformation that he experienced following the sudden end of his marriage. Boy, can I relate to the transformation process after the end of a marriage, because, you know, as you know, I was 20-year relationship and I walked out on that relationship to change my life, and I did, and I love my life now, and it's so awesome. And, you know, there's still a lot to process with the ending of a relationship like that. And so in his book, Michael fearlessly shares his journey of self-discovery to his consciousness awakening after the trauma of that breakup. And in his raw and powerful memoir, Michael shares how he used his pain to find a greater purpose in life. And of course, you know, we all are multifaceted. Michael works as an engineer. So for you people who think like, well, I can't deal with anybody who's too woo-woo, you know, Michael is an engineer. So hi, he uses both sides of his brain. Okay. Mm-hmm. So, and he speaks on transcendent leadership, drawing on experiences from his personal and professional life. And, you know, what really appealed to me about your story was just the awakening of what I would call the divine feminine, the awakening of that we each have divine masculine, divine feminine within us. you know, that masculine that holds the container and keeps things structured and keeps it on track and keeps it going and keeps it, you know, everything's moving forward in the new direction. And the feminine, it's like, oh, I want to explore and be really curious about all of this. And I want to listen and I want to just get immersed in it. And I want to feel everything. And I want to just like see what wisdom comes to me bubbling up from within, you know, it's completely different energies. Mm-hmm. And, you know, what I loved about your book as I read it was that you really describe that journey without using any of those woo words, but you describe that journey of opening your feelings. And a lot of men, I notice a lot of men out there don't know how to do that. And as we talked about in our personal conversation, like you're one of the few men in our evolution training groups, you know, where we do our work together and we go spiritual deep dive. Like that takes some vulnerability and some real courage to show up in a room full of women, you know, and do your work. So I just so told you how many things I'm inspired by. I'm going to let you talk about your relationship to what I just said and also how you want to tell us about your book.
Yeah, I appreciate it so much. And there's so much in there and there's so many aspects of the book that I would, I'm looking forward to sharing more in additional conversations. But the aspect of us guys, you know, showing up and talking about our feelings and saying when we're not winning and saying that we're hurting and saying that we're lonely and saying that we're scared, saying that we're lost. I know for me, like none of this was planned. I never thought I would be sitting here saying such things. I never thought I would spend over 2 years writing about such things, but it really came to be. And it really was that almost the first part of the awakening, that instantaneous awakening of oh my God, like the worst possible thing has just happened to me at the moment. And this path that I had going forward, where I thought I was going with my career and my relationship and my world, it was just gone in an instant. And so it was just really this space that developed. This blank canvas that I had that I believe really allowed something new to come in and allowed this new awareness to come in. And part of that being really acknowledging what I was going through. You know, I had survived what had happened in that moment. I'd survived the end of the relationship. So I was really fortunate in that case because I had survived one of the worst possible things that could happen to me. So if I started sharing and feeling more and expressing myself more, nothing was going to feel as bad as how I already felt. And I think that's really important to relate to what people are going through in these days. And, you know, we're almost halfway through 2020 and there's been a ton of changes in people's lives over the last couple months with the pandemic. And perhaps it's not an end of a relationship, but people's lives have changed. Absolutely. And that's why I'm so keen to get the message of this book out here to really show and share how I went through my change, my hard change, not necessarily a good change, but how I did eventually turn it into something good. And I, you know, left the darkness behind and gravitated towards the light.
Yeah, I love how you talk about in the book that you initially turned to alcohol as a way to process the end of your relationship. That's very familiar. You know, I think a lot of people do that to numb out, you know, to kind of like fill up the space, the empty space, mm-hmm. with something that feels like entertainment.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. For me, you know, I was in my mid-30s. I'm in my late 30s now. I was in my mid-30s when all of this started. And I was, you know, like a typical 30-something-year-old guy, still drinking like we were in university, so probably too much on the weekend, maybe a couple times a week. But when all of a sudden I was on my own all the time, then yeah, I would always start turning to a glass or two of red wine, because it was, you know, transporting back to this time. I'm in Vancouver, so it's the Pacific Northwest, so it's dark and it's rainy and it's really miserable, because all of this started in November of that year. So I'm sitting in the dark and I'm having these new hard emotions come up, but I don't want to go there. And so starting to drink more during the week, a couple glasses of wine, was exactly that. It's just a way to numb the pain and escape facing what I really needed to.
What do you think made you decide to feel, to start feeling?
I was curious. I was super curious. I was all these breakthroughs that I was having at the time, that I was getting clarity on how things had come to be, how I had contributed to the end of the relationship. And each one of those was brilliant because it was an aha. I was like, oh, that's why that happened. That's how I contributed to that. But most of those were accompanied with some very painful emotions about, oh shit, that's how that happened. And that's how I contributed to that. And that's how my personality got me into, and I'm not taking full ownership for everything that happened, but I believe it's super important for us to learn from such hard experiences. And when I started feeling these feelings that came out of these realizations, as hard as they were, I wanted to keep going because I didn't want to have any rocks unturned. As an engineer, I was rebuilding my foundation. And I know, I don't know everything about engineering, but what I do know is that if we are to rebuild, I wanted to rebuild on the absolute most solid foundation. And that meant there could not have been any more surprises sticking up from the earth.
So you had to learn about yourself in order to build that foundation.
I had to unlearn, and I am still constantly unlearning about myself and about my programming and about my beliefs. You know, one of my intents each and every day is to learn something new and to have a perspective shift. Because every time I learn something new, I'm like, oh, it just opens up this whole new world. And that's why I'm so passionate about connecting with people that know more than I do, or connected to other people than I am, or have different beliefs. But I had to, again, I had to unlearn and create some space so I could build myself back up and work on those parts of my personality that no longer served me.
That's so interesting, because sometimes people go into like the blame mode. Like sometimes people say, well, that ended because she just blah, 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 you know, and they just can't own any part of like, well, they're not even interested in that conversation about exploring. What would you say to somebody like that, who's like kind of in that mode? Let's say you just ran across a conversation and somebody just had a breakup and they were like kind of in that spot of like, yeah, he was abusive and toxic and did all this stuff to me and it was terrible. And, you know, and I'm just really wounded now and I'm hurting. And, you know, so how would you approach that kind of conversation now? Because I know we all know somebody who just doesn't get it and we want to help, but you know, it's hard to open that door sometimes.
Yeah. And that mindset will for sure most likely be replicated in other parts of their lives. And the mindset is you're just going through life as a victim, that every single day that the world is out to get you. And I have lived like this, and yeah, I have people in my family who live like this to an extent. I have friends that live like this, and it doesn't work. It will never work, because there's always going to be challenges from the outside. And it's just this whole ball of negative energy that surrounds going through life as a victim. And for me, it took several months to get to these stages that we're talking about. As instantaneous as some of the breakthroughs were, this full shift in this victim mindset took a while. And now that doesn't mean that nobody else in the situation did anything wrong, but you acknowledge that they did their best at the time, and that energy of that situation had to happen so you could go through and process it, and your consciousness could evolve to the next level. But by going through life, really empowering yourself that, and being the opposite of having life just happen to you. Well, Tony Robbins line, and everyone says the thing that life happens for you and not to you. It's just so much more empowering to go through life that way.
Yeah, to kind of look and see like what were the dynamics of that relationship that magnetize you to that relationship so that you could experience something that you found uncomfortable and difficult, yeah. right? And then learn and grow yeah. from it. Like, I don't think it necessarily, like for me, you know, I had a lot of early childhood abuse, right? And then I picked a partner who also had some early childhood abuse. And then we were like two abused children trying to figure out how to love each other in a relationship. And we, you know, we went to counseling. I went to a lot of personal counseling. We went to couples counseling here and there. Like, so we were both like concerned about this, but not being able to see our way through it because of the, you know, so we both created that dynamic. And it was it toxic? Yes, it was really hard. And there were also moments of like a lot of love and a lot of joy and fun. And, you know, so we tried to accentuate those moments and like skip over the other stuff, but that doesn't work. You got to deal with it. Cause the longer you don't talk about the thing, that's like, it's like a little splinter in your feet, you know, even a little tiny splinter in your finger, the tiniest little splinter. Boy, that can be, it's so nagging at you, right? Like pretty soon you can't think about anything but getting some tweezers and getting that thing out of there. But you try to ignore it. You're like, I don't have time to deal with that right now. I don't have time to deal with that right now. I just hope it falls out by itself.
Yeah. And it starts with the awareness of seeing that there's something that perhaps you are ignoring in your relationship or your career. But yeah, I love how you put that. You know, for me, like it could have been, I was in this relationship for 12 years. We had some good times and then it went downhill and she left me and now my life is ruined. Or that exact relationship that came into my life at that time was exactly what me and my soul asked for. And we had some beautiful moments and every challenge that we had along the way was exactly what I called for, exactly what I needed. How it ended was exact energy that I needed to experience so I could transform and transmute into the next level of my consciousness. So I could be here talking to you today, learning whatever I'm going to learn today, impacting the people that I am going to impact and am impacting with my words and my story. But that's everything I asked for. I asked for all of this. I asked for this conversation. I asked for whatever is going to happen this afternoon. This is our soul's journey.
Yeah. And I love that. And that getting to that space takes self-reflection. It takes healing the inner emotional experience, feeling the feels, feel it to heal it. Right. Mm-hmm. And so it seems like just judging based on numbers that a lot of guys don't feel comfortable with that aspect because they're not showing up in the spaces that people are doing transformation necessarily. A lot of the spaces I, you know, go to transformation, there's a lot of women. I've had a few communities where there's a balance of men and women. And I always love that when I walk into those communities, it's like, wow, this is all balanced. There's like men and women. It's so great. But that's rare, you know, I find. So what's in a male consciousness? Can you speak from your perspective of being in a male body? Because of course you can't speak for all men, but you know, for your perspective of being in a male body, what do you think that's about?
I think it's about women are more in touch with their bodies and their souls. They're more in touch with them than men, like from a whole biological perspective. And I'm no biologist or doctor, but the whole process of giving birth and feeling your body and being connected with that. So I believe it's, you know, it's natural that women are reaching this higher consciousness before the men. Now that being said, the men are, we're coming. Don't worry. The women lead the way. We're coming. And so much wisdom in the women. And we are, whether or not men out there are aware of this, we absorb it and we are watching and we are listening. But for the men that are marching in this direction, we have to share what we're going through. We have to fearlessly be vulnerable because vulnerability leads to connection. Vulnerability is the ultimate form of courage. And that's a complete different program than what many of us were raised with, where keep your mouth shut, just suck it up. You know, be macho, stop crying. And that's a full different program. But the men that are stepping into this space, we're coming. We're not going to disappear. We're going to keep writing books. We're going to keep talking on stages. We're going to keep coming on podcasts because The other guys are watching. All my buddies are watching. They're curious. They don't understand all the languaging that I use, but don't worry, we're coming.
Yeah, I love that. And I think that as the energy changes in the overall consciousness, with the realization of, you know, stepping, this is really woo-woo, but like stepping into the kingdom of heaven, right? Like to heaven on earth, like stepping in to the Garden of Eden, stepping into the Great Awakening is a shift in consciousness. It's a shift to realize that, oh, okay, it's not about all the stuff I get out there that's the success. It's about all the transformation that I have in here, all the understanding and compassion that I have in here. That's the thing. Oh, it's like, it's not out there. It's in here that is mattering the most. I think as the consciousness starts to get that, then I think guys will come along because they'll be like, oh, this is the new goal. You know, like, oh, okay.
Happiness is the
this
new
is
goal,
the new right? success.
Yeah, awaken to happiness is the new goal. It is the new success. We want to be fulfilled. We've all tried the other ways to get the external things to fulfill us, the cars and the trips and this. I had 7 bikes at the time of my separation. Like, I only got 2 legs. I can't ride 7 bikes at a time. But I think it's important to note that everything you just described so beautifully, as beautiful as you described it, and I know from my personal transformation, my personal evolution, it gets ugly.
It gets
challenging, it gets hard, and just like so many, and that's why I'm just still so excited and optimistic about this whole shift that's going on with humanity right now, is that it's if we tap in the right ways, and if we become aware of what's going on within us, then we will get to this higher consciousness. But it's hard to remember, but this should be hard, what's going on in the world right now. That's completely normal. We have this old energy that's trying to suck us back while we're curiously looking towards this new light. And of course, this old darkness wants to pull us back down.
Yeah, so it's important that we have to deal with the pain. The pain, so that because otherwise it's called a spiritual bypass. And we talked about this right before the call. If we don't deal with our own shadows and our own difficulty and our own pain and our own stuck emotion and our own unprocessed experience and our own like self-judgment and judgment of others, if we don't deal with all of that, you know, individually and collectively, and then we just say, well, here's the new vision, you know, I'm just happy and I'm blissed out and I am all of this, and we try to mantra over all the pile of doo-doo, we're not getting the most nutrients out of the doo-doo, you know, like it's fodder for spiritual growth. It's the lotus blooms in the mud. So the mud is the stuff. So like, yeah, I love that you said that. Like, we've got paradigms of historical suffering, especially in this country, in America. And, you know, that has not been addressed. For example, we have not fully felt the experience of other people that have been tortured, their ancestral lines have been really experienced great deals of pain. And you could say this, you could take the same message to many places in the world where we have not fully witnessed that. We have not fully healed it. We have not fully acknowledged it, validated it, expressed compassion and empathy for it. So until that happens, it's not transmuted to love. It's not love. It's not, oh, love and light.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, love. Really important. If there's nothing else that the listeners listening to in this recording, you're missing out for one. But number two, but the love and the light, it has to come from within you, and that's what it's so empowering about this whole conversation, and even everything that's going on in the world right now with people making decisions about the virus and politicians doing what they do, good or bad, no matter what you agree, whose party they're with, all the stuff, people, headlines, media, all the stuff. None of that, nobody, none of these people are going to do anything to create peace within you. You are going to create peace within you. You are going to create peace within you by by facing these dark shadows that you have and feeling the feels like we've talked about, and acknowledging how you can do better, how you can be better, how you can influence those around you. Maybe that's your kid, maybe that's your parent, maybe it's thousands of people. We all influence people. We need to be the leaders. We need to be the change within ourselves, because there's not going to be one piece of legislation or one thing that changes or one headline that's going to instantly flip and we're all going to be at peace. The peace is going to come from the people.
Yeah, the peace is going to come from the people, from within the people, and each person claiming their own peace through dialogue. Through inner dialogue and through outer dialogue, through conversation, inner conversation, outer conversation. That's how we're going to shift this shit.
it's conversation, yeah. and it's being humble. And this is especially hard for guys to acknowledge
humility.
That, wow, I know nothing about the spiritual space. I don't understand what you're saying, but I want to understand. And once I understand it, then I can decide whether or not that resonates with me, if that energy matches. But it's just this real humility, like you said, about being open to understanding. And so I talk about this in the book. Chapter 3 is called From Within, actually, because I recognize I have to find this peace within myself to move on from within. But this whole conversation that I have in the first chapters of the books, for the first time in my life, you know, I'm actually reaching out to my friends and listening to what they have to say. I'm listening to what my family has to say. I'm not necessarily following each piece of advice and things that come back to me, but I was in a space where there was no guidebook. There was no engineering blueprint to get out of that pile of shit that I was in. There was nobody else gonna pick me up off the living room carpet where I spent all those weeks and months just crying and looking up at the dark skylight overhead as all this winter rain started piling down on me. But that takes a lot of courage and humility to say, things aren't working, somebody help me.
Yeah, asking for help. Yeah, that's a hard thing for a lot of people to do, because it's sort of like, it's, I think especially with men, it can be perceived as a sign of weakness in the culture of men to ask for help.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Weakness to me is obviously not asking for help. Weakness is thinking you have the answer. Weakness is responding in violence. Weakness is not listening at all. Weakness is closing down and not addressing the challenges that are within you, and then passing that bad energy on to everyone that you interact with in the day. For me, my goal each and every day is to leave at least one person in a better space, in a better light. And let me tell you, I don't want to do that every day. And some days I don't. Some days I will stay inside and I'll just sleep and I feel like crap. Because that takes a lot of energy to show up in a positive way. It takes a lot of energy to transmute all that's going on each and every day. But this is the collective change that's going to change the consciousness. If we all recognize that we can empower within ourselves to make the world a little bit brighter, to see a different perspective, to see how we can be the change. But it's these little touches, these little balls of energy that we pass on to each other that's going to make this difference.
Yeah, I love how you talk about the ripple effect, you know, of our own change. You know, just think like the one time you may have been someplace and somebody smiled at you just the right way, or they said something kind to you and you thought, wow, it just shifted my whole day. I feel in a better mood now. It's like deciding to be that person, deciding to radiate that peace and that love. And it's work. It's work to get there, because, yeah, as a peaceful person, I'm a peaceful person. And the stuff I see on social media lately gets me riled up, gets me like, oh, I can't believe they're saying things like that. And then all my judgment's kicked out and I'm like, okay, I have to breathe. I've got to like get centered. I've got to get notice my judgment, question my judgment, become curious about my judgment, go look at it again, process it, feel it, make a choice within myself. You know, what's the opening here? What's the commonality here? What's the misunderstanding here? You know, so like really being bringing diplomacy into that conversation, and diplomacy leads to peace. So we each can be a diplomat.
Yeah, I love that. And when you see all the hate on social media and horrible things going on in the world, absolutely right now. But when we share and we pass on that sort of, for me, it all comes back to energy. And I just perhaps appreciate this, you know, from my engineering background. I'm not even really sure, and I'm sure I got into engineering for a reason. That's what my soul wanted me to help understand this. But when we pass on that energy of a post on social media where people are outraged and they're swearing and they're lighting off firecrackers or whatever it is, when you pass that on and that violence and that energy gets passed on, you're not transmuting the darkness into light. You're spiritual bypass. You're not doing the work. You're not realizing why it triggers you. You're not reframing it in a way where we can learn and evolve from that.
It's just sort of, yeah. So the spiritual activism piece, a lot of people think, well, I'm being active. I'm being a spiritual activist because I'm going, you know, I'm going to go speak out loud and I'm going to share this. And it's not to say that there's anything wrong with that. It's just saying, yes. And the next level is, okay, how can I take this message? How can I take this and bring it to a higher place, even where more people are included, where more people can listen and hear the message, receive the message, because it's being delivered in a way that doesn't cause immediately a contraction. Because like violence and aggression immediately causes retraction or leaning in, you know, with more aggressiveness, right? Mm-hmm. So we can share, we can feel passion and we can share something, but when we do our inner work on it, we can bring it from a higher place where people can actually receive it. And now you're creating transformation because there's an opening where people can receive that energy and the spirit that's delivered in.
And what, there's so many beautiful instances of things are going on right now with all the awareness about the racism in not just the United States, but around the world. But I think the most powerful images and most powerful scenes that I've seen are these silent protests, these peaceful protests with thousands of people. That is so powerful to me.
They're all lying on the ground, you know, with their hands behind them and silent for 9 minutes. Wow, that is so powerful to be in solidarity.
That is so powerful. It's so beautiful. And that's how you get your message across. You see, that's how you're breaking the spell of the bad energy that started this whole event. And you know, you're looking at it, you're processing it, and you're showing up in a different way, in this beautiful, peaceful, collective way to have the message be heard.
Yeah, beautiful. So what does Satori Ananda mean?
So Satori means flash of enlightenment, Japanese word, and Ananda is Sanskrit. It means the bliss of being. And I chose these two words. I was reading Eckhart Tolle at the time, you know, during these first couple months right after the separation happened, and he mentioned these two words within his book, and they just really pulled me in, and I'd never seen them before, I'd never heard them, and I loved how they sounded, and I loved their meanings, because I really felt this. That they were speaking to what I was experiencing, all these flashes of enlightenment, all these brief breakthroughs, all these pieces of clarity about what had happened, about who I was, and about who I wanted to be. And then at the same time, the Ananda, you know, the moments of bliss when I was trying to get happy again. I was eventually got really tired of crying and feeling sad. And one of the ways that I access peace and joy and love is by being really present and being very present, especially in nature. And I spend a ton of time in nature up here in British Columbia. So it was this real combination of these breakthroughs to these moments of bliss. And I just wanted to pull those two together and capture that, because I really felt that it explained a lot about what I was going through.
Oh, that's so beautiful. It's so gorgeous. So when is your book coming out?
Mid-July.
Mid-July.
I'm so excited to to get it out there. I'm actually staring at the cover over here to my right.
Oh, I love that
part. I haven't. I've only shown my family, and there were four different versions of them, and we all like different ones. So I just ignored everything that they said. but it's beautiful. You're gonna love it. Your listeners, I believe, are gonna love it. And yeah, I'm just so excited about getting the book out there and having more conversations like this. I touch on so many topics about that are so familiar to people going through a breakup, but also not just a breakup, but big changes in our lives. And on top of that, there's this whole spiritual conversation that it was like, I started at zero. Like the first day of the breakup was really my entrance into the spiritual world. So I question what all this woo-woo business is and what people are saying. And I talk about how I learn about it, and I share everything and how I question it and how I develop my own perspective. So there's just so much in there. And I'm really proud of it. And I can't wait to get it out there for so many reasons.
Awesome. Yeah. I've read the book. It's beautiful. It's a gorgeous book, very heart-centered and vulnerable and expressive and powerful emotions expressed in there. I could feel that as I was reading, and really good insights. So I invite everybody to check it out, Satori Ananda, and we will put a link when it's available to buy the book. And I just encourage you guys to check it out and check out Michael. He's got some good stuff going on over there with his divine masculine.
Working on it every day. I need a reminder sticker to Michael, work on your divine masculine each and every day. But no, as challenging as some of these days are, I'm just so excited for this future that a lot of us are consciously creating. And I talk about in the book, you know, how just this whole recognition about how we create the worlds with our thoughts, and this whole shift in awareness. So now I'm so conscious about what I put in my head and what I write down on paper. And I don't get it right each and every day. That's absolutely sure. But we have the gift of life to wake up and be rebirthed each and every morning and get at her the next day.
Absolutely. This is a Earth school. We're here to learn. We're here to grow. Mm-hmm. And, you know, forgive ourselves looking backwards, because hindsight truly is 2020, and we can see it more clearly. And we're getting that opportunity this year to have that experience for the entire year for all of our human experience. It's so fascinating. So, well, thank you so much for being on the show today. I really appreciate your time and sharing your wisdom with us. And just encourage everybody out there, please, if you found this broadcast to be useful, please like and share and comment on wherever you found it, if it was iTunes or Stitcher or Spotify or YouTube or wherever you found it. Just like and comment so it goes up in the ratings a little bit. People see that there's action there. And welcome you to check out Michael's book, and I'll put a link to that. So thanks so much for being on the show, and thank you everybody out there. And so I'm going to give kisses. You want to help give kisses? Here they come, people. COVID-free kisses coming your way.
So tasty. Most action I've had in a while. Come on, give me more.
Here come your kisses, everybody.
Thank you.
See you next time on Soul Nectar Show. Bye for now.
To dive in deeper to nourishing conversation, visit soulnectar.show.
Soul Nectar Show. Awaken, awaken. Take a sip from the drip of nectar from the source of who you are.